podcast is brought to you by the Erasmus Plus Panda Project on participation of young children in child welfare and child protection.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And this morning's podcast is all about participation. We're going to talk about everything participation, an exciting topic for us to talk about as part of our European Panda Project, something that we're passionate about. But we're very keen to engage with people who've got a lot of expertise and a lot of practice, such as yourself. So thank you very much for coming along to talk to us today about your work. Matthew, could I just start off by asking you just to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and your work? That would be great.
Yeah, no problem. So, I'm Matthew Lamb. I work with the Southeastern Trust and I'm one of their CAF teams. So that's the child and family teams within the Southeastern Trust. There was a change in terms of the team setup. It used to be that it would be family intervention, looked after children. They would have been separated out in terms of their teams. I suppose that has been brought together now under one umbrella team, being the child and family team. So in terms of the cases that I would work, they would be child protection cases and looked after children, and then also family support. So all three of those run alongside each other. So we have mixed caseloads, which provides its own complexities in itself in terms of separating that work out and the different domains and the skills that are sort of needed for that. But I suppose I've been within that and within that sort of remit of work for the past sort of 3 to 4 years now. And I have to say, really enjoy it. It's madly intense and it's very understaffed at the moment, which is something that we're experiencing, and well, I'm sure we'll get on to it, impacts on how we can participate with children. And I think that's a big contributing factor. But you know, I suppose that would be my setup and my remit of work at the moment. But yeah, just suffering staff wise, but sure.
So you're going to be looking for staff, Matthew. Is this a call out for new staff?
This is an advertisement, absolutely. If we can get anyone coming across, don't be going to adult services, come on across into one of the CAF teams.
Yeah. So Matthew, I mean, you sound busy and a lot of your work, I would imagine, is around assessment, and part of that assessment, I would have imagined, is getting the voice of the child, you know, understanding what life is like from the voice, from the child's perspective. Could you tell us a wee bit about how you go about doing that, getting the voice of the child into your assessments?
Yeah, no problem. I think that, as I mentioned, I suppose in around our case setup, it's very different. So in terms of the looked after children, as you know, we're required to do a statutory visit every 28 days, for example. And during that time, during that staff visit, we'll have time alone with the child in which we're trying to ascertain their wishes and feelings about how things are going generally in terms of their health, their emotional well-being, how contact's going between themselves and their, you know, extended family member, mums and dads, and then also just alongside trying to understand how they're getting on within placement as well. That's usually done in a one-to-one conversation. There is a big push within the trust at the moment around the implementation and sustaining the implementation of signs of safety. And I suppose it would be a tool that I would use and something that I can see that children respond to quite well, on my caseload anyway, and from the looked after world, the three houses is a nice way of working through that. And it's something that, you know, the child's able to understand, you know, in terms of what's working well and any worries they might have, and then thinking about what we can do next about those. And that's a sort of format that lines up nicely to the way our LAC reviews are run. So our LAC reviews, then we enter into that domain, and we do think about what's working well for the child, and we do think about worries, and we do think about a plan then for the next 6 months. But that would be one of the tools that I would use in working through that with them. There is something that was sort of highlighted within our team, and it's called MAMO. It's called Mind of My Own. I would use it really very often. I would use it across cases with looked after children, but both and in child protection as well, and working one-to-one with the child. And again, you can go through those sort of domains of trying to understand their wishes and feelings around a certain topic area or a certain decision that's going to be made. And it can be the most simplest decision around perhaps an increase to contact, or I suppose it can be very simple in that way, and it can be adapted. But that's a system that uses the likes of emojis that they can use to express how they're feeling. They can use a rating system from 0 to 10 around certain questions, which can be adapted. They can type into it. There's responses that are ready there that they can just click on and go, yeah, that's how I'm sort of feeling, that's pretty accurate. Puts that on. But after that, it sort of generates an overview of that sort of decision that needs to be made, or how they're participating in that. That goes through to my email, so it does. So we retain a copy of that. We can bring that into our LAC reviews. We can bring that into supervision on a monthly basis and make those really day-to-day decisions for a child, make them real, which is really important. But I think in that way, we're trying to get that coming through and for their participation to be acted on quite rapidly. And I think that we would use supervision for that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Making those decisions, not waiting 6 months down the line for a looked after child to start making decisions. I think that if they're wanting something changed, that we're weighing that up, and we can do that within the supervision format. So I suppose the three houses, MAMO would be another one that I would use. And then I think there's simple conversation that you can work through with the child, and I think that works okay at times. It doesn't necessarily need to be drawing something or on an iPad or something along those lines, but even there's children that I would take out and we would go for a little walk together, something really informal, and start to talk around a certain area. And again, if you're taking contact, for example, just seeing how that's going for them, and I suppose then try and make decisions from there and see what they would like from their contact.
You froze there, Matthew. Think you're back in action.
Sorry, is that all right?
Yeah, it's cool.
No, Paul, I was just finishing off there, just around. I suppose I was just talking about making those sort of day-to-day decisions for children, particularly who are looked after. And I finished off there just with saying about using more informal methods for doing that. And some of it can just be to put all of that aside and maybe just go out for a walk or spend some one-to-one time with them. Outside of their placement, and start to get into that, so you can really understand their wishes and feelings. So I think that works quite well.
So Matthew, if I'm hearing you right, then it could be sort of organized tools, or it could be, you know, informal, going for a walk, going for a chat, going for a coffee, going for a walk in the park, something like that. There doesn't necessarily have to be a formalized tool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's a difficult dynamic when I'm thinking about it in terms of formalizing our tools and thinking about formal and informal, because I think that's really interesting distinction to make, because the formal tool typically comes forward into the likes of your case conference or your looked after child review. And I think then you're trying to present that on behalf of the child if they're not able to attend that review. And you know, in that way, it's lovely to be able to give the chair you know, an overview of what the child's thinking at that point on paper, and that works well for that setting. But that's a trust and way forward in terms of trying to present those. Does that necessarily work well for the child? I don't know. But you know, those more informal methods can be captured. They, I suppose it's on the social worker to try and capture that and write that down, record it, make sure that that's known, but also then that's acted on. And the child knows that in terms of their wishes and feelings around a certain area, that they're getting feedback on that, that they're seeing that there's actually something potentially changing, or if it's not, why? Feeding that back to them. But I think that we gauge our formal methods for our meetings and whatever that might look like, but for day-to-day and trying to understand the wishes and feelings of a child, then formal ones work quite well.
I mean, that's in some ways quite fascinating, because some of the formal stuff might meet the agency needs, the organizational needs, but the question is it really meeting the needs of the child, when perhaps there is a sense of the informal stuff works really, really well, but it might not necessarily fit into the organizational requirements. Esther, what's your view on that?
Yeah, I think that these are very, very interesting to know, this kind of the tools, the informal tools that you, Matthew, explained before, okay, because sometimes we are working with the children, okay, that I think that from my personal point of view, the professional have more complicated to create a relationship, and maybe this kind of the informal meeting and for informal to promote and create more relationship between the professionals and the children, and improve the opportunity to hear their wishes and desires that they have and concerns that they have about the future and what happened with themselves and in their family. But I think it's really, really nice to hear you, Matthew, that you're an incorporate, because I'm wondering what happened. Is something that maybe in your organization respect or support you with this kind of the informal tools? Because sometimes the organization is very, very close to try to support the professional with this kind of the initiatives. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think if I can give an example of it in terms of, I think my thoughts around science and safety are definitely mixed, and this is very by the by. You know, there's been no extensive research into it, or there's, you know, I suppose it's only what I'm picking up from some students and some new staff coming in. But I think that they believe that they need to use science of safety. So there's a need, there's a dashboard to that. So they would work through the science of safety model from, you know, junior grams through to words and pictures to, you know, three houses and whatever else that might be. And I think that from talking with some of them, they thought that they could only use the three houses in ascertaining a child's wishes and feelings. What a worrying thought. I thought, you know, I was sort of saying that, you know, that is interesting. It's fulfilling a agency need in terms of us showing the use of signs of safety. Yes, that works. That's great. But on the other side, it's perhaps not fulfilling the need for the child. It's maybe more for the social worker to think critically about what works well for them, what works well for ascertaining that child's wishes and feelings. And it may well be the three houses. That may well be an approach that works. But I think it's thinking outside the box and not being, you know, cornered into that one area. You know, in training, we certainly think about ways in which we can promote participation in the tools that we can use. And science and safety is one of them. But there's a multitude of others that we can start to utilise. So I think that it's worrying that I think that some students or some new staff members coming in believe that that's the only method that they can use and what needs to be brought forward, where you need to be thinking critically for the child and think, like, that works better for them. Mama might work better for them. A walk on the beach and conversational capture of their wishes and feelings might work better for them. So I think in that way, I think that participation element needs to be thought about critically for the child.
Matthew, what's your experience of working with under 12s, you know, getting participation of kids who are under 12?
Yeah, It's a very difficult one for me, and I think it in the first couple of years of practice, it was almost via the carer. It was a lot of what we were capturing their wishes and feelings. So the carer that knew them the best, we were trying to capture that, you know, in terms of how they're feeling, how they're presenting, and then bringing that forward. I think it does take maybe more time to build up skills in communicating with a child who is a lot younger. You know, they may not be as clear in their wishes and feelings about a certain area. And I think one element of it is, you know, sort of increasing skill around communication with that. And then, you know, I suppose in terms of the tools, I found drawing works very well with them, you know, sitting down, drawing little pictures, thinking about ways in which they can express their wishes and feelings as opposed to doing it in a written format or, you know, a more formal format that older children might be able to do. So I think my experience of working with that age group is that it takes me to adapt to that age group and think about what ways that they can participate. I'm not saying that a five-year-old can attend their LAC review, or participate in that formal setting. Some of them might be able to. We might be able to bring them along. It might work okay. But my experience is that age group, that they can do very well in that one-to-one time in which we can draw pictures together, think about different areas, but also gather some information by the adults around them that know them best as well, and bringing all that together as part of their participation. But I find that area particularly difficult in that younger age group. I don't think it's as easy to access, and I think it maybe takes a different skill base. And you know, if there was different tools coming out of the PAND project as well, that might be able to suggest ways that we can develop that, I would be definitely open to it.
That's certainly one of the things. That's one of the reasons why we are interested in the under 12s, particularly because practitioners do seem to find that it is an additional challenge. Esther, what's your view on this?
Yeah, I think that working with the children under 3 years, sorry, is more tough and complicated to create that relationship and the communication. And of course, I must say that maybe this kind of the tools related more with the arts or the narrative approach is easier to understand their feelings. Okay, so but this, I think, that is a big challenge for the professional to develop this kind of the material that they use that improve the relation and the participation in decision making with children under 3 years.
Matthew, I mean, from your experience, what sort of things do we need to be better at when we are communicating, involving, increasing participation with under 12s? I mean, you've already said that there seems to be you maybe need heightened skills, but what other things should we be thinking about?
Skill base is definitely one, and I know that's definitely one for me. It's a, you know, ongoing development around that area. For me, I think that we are making some positive progress in our meetings, you know, in how we set up our meetings. You know, be it a child protection case conference or be it a, you know, looked after child review, I think that simplifying the format in terms of what's working well and what are we worried about and what needs to happen next is something that a child is able to perhaps ready and able to contribute to, you know, and can understand that concept. I think that we still have some way to break down how formal that setting is. You know, if there's definitely an age group that is more than capable of attending those meetings. I'm not saying the likes of a 3 to 4 year old, but I'm saying that as we go up that age bracket, and you know, if judging by the child themselves, if they're able to, and I suppose that'll take a little bit of work, but allowing them to enter into that setting in a more comfortable way, I think it's still a very formal setting for them to contribute to. And it is their care plan for the next 6 months. And it is their life around, you know, talking about their health and talking about their emotional well-being, talking about their contact with mommy and daddy, talking about their placement. They should have a place at that table. So I think it's about breaking down how that environment and making more accessible for a child to enter into. And I suppose thinking about ways to do that. Even thinking about the report that we write around for a child as well, allowing them to access some of that. There's some sensitive information that you might not want to share with them immediately if it hasn't been shared in a child-friendly way before, such as through a narrative or through words and pictures. But there's definitely part of the document that they should have access to in the care plan that they should be able to understand as well. We have done it before. I've done it with children who have you know, suffered from dyslexia, for example.
Okay.
I've used, there's a system called Ring Write Gold. I don't know if you're aware of it, but you can almost highlight all of the text and turn it into an audiobook.
Right.
So we've done that before, where we've been able to allow the child to listen along to the report.
Brilliant.
Listen along to what's written about them, listen along to the care plan that's being developed for them as well.
Yeah.
So I think that allowing, there's access. I think access is an issue for me. Access into the meetings, access into the information that's being written and talked about them, and especially at that age group, and trying to break that down for them and help them understand it.
So Matthew, I'm conscious that we said we'd only keep you for 20 minutes. If I could sum up just what we have said, and it's been, you know, really fascinating to hear what you have said. I mean, and it has made me think about it in a different way, I have to say. So if I could sum up what you're saying is that there are tools, yes, those tools can work very, very well, but there's also the informal, the relationship, the communicating informally with kids, which can just be as equally good. And those are two things that we need to think about. Do we use the tools? When do we use them? Do we use relationships? And how do we use them? And when do we use them? Which is better? Perhaps both have got an equal place. With the under 12s, there seems to be, you know, a challenge. It's a critically important thing that we do, but there are additional challenges, and you've outlined some of those challenges, and you've given us some very helpful solutions as well, which, you know, I appreciate you doing. Esther, before we finish, is there any other things that you would like to ask Matthew, or anything that you think is important that you haven't had a chance to listen to or want to say?
Well, I think that no, because thank you so much, Matthew, for your this kind of the conversation and to help with the Panda project. Okay, and I think it's important to hear your experiences and also to open new ideas and tools, method that the professional can use in the field of the social work. And for me, I think it's only just to incorporate in our project that we are not talking about the right of the children to have the access of the recess of this kind of the report that you told before, okay, that maybe it's not a method that the tool that the professional use, okay, working with children, that is important for the participation in decision making, the idea that you put here today, that have to the opportunity today to incorporate into the process. And to know that the professional sometimes write down in, you know, the report. Okay, so for me, thank you so much, Matthew, for this conversation and for your time, for collaborating with our Panda project.
No bother, Esther, no bother. Thank you.